So we have a different display up here on the platform this morning. Several folks have been thinking, investigating, planning, preparing, and I'm grateful for Val Licklema and Tammy Rodriguez, who have been functioning as our worship ministry coordinators during this transition time. And this was a lot their brainchild, and then they asked me if I'd like to be part of this service before I leave. And the more we thought about it, the more I said, well, A, I'm old, so I could be here as a history celebration. B, that sounds like a great way to focus on the history of what God has done at Banner and take the focus off me for a final Sunday. So I was all about it. And they've done a lot of the legwork, a lot of preparation. And then a special, special, special thank you to Wayne Batdorf and Dick Blake, who you're going to hear from this morning. Now, you can be praying for them because they're both just nervous as cats. These guys are some of the most experienced folks at Banner that we have. And many of you who have been here a long time know about their legendary leadership in so many areas. But I also know that when you've not been up front in front of the congregation for a long time, it's easy to feel just kind of intimidated. So you have one instruction. When I bring them up in a little bit, and we're going to be seated around this table, I want you to just all, the biggest smile you can put on your faces so they know this is a friendly audience and you will welcome them in that way. Goodness, so many good things about what we're going to do today. The first of which is the ladies had an idea or somebody had an idea passed along to them and they thought it was a great idea, and that is to recreate a historical cradle roll. Now, there's one disclaimer about this before we flip this slide up on the screen. We know we've missed people. There's no question. We ask folks to let us know if you were somewhere at some point in your very young age rocked in the nursery at Banner. We wanted your name so that we could put it up on this screen. We did limit it to folks who were, for the most part, presently attending Banner. So right away, we know we've missed just dozens and dozens and dozens of folks who are still around. They may be worshiping in other places now, and that's okay. But here's what I want to do. I'm going to pull that list up. These are the Banner babies that we are aware of, and you're going to notice quite an age discrepancy, which is cool about Banner. In fact, it occurred to me that one of the first markers on our cornerstone over in the prayer chapel was 1919. What does that mean? Next year, you are all, as a congregation, 100 years old. So that's pretty exciting. I'm not going to be here to plan any kind of centennial celebration, but y'all ought to be thinking about that, okay? You really need to. So, as I read these names, if you are present in the sanctuary, we'd like for you to come up and just line up across the front here. I want you to see Banner's cradle roll. Historically, Roger Cooley, Mike Cooley, Janet Cooley, Don Vanderlaan, Amy Waldron, Wayne Batdorf, Dick Blake, Rick and Jim Doan, Larry Hall, Caleb Shellhouse, Allie and Robbie Clay, Addison Rodriguez, Ethan Malski, Emilia McPeck McCulloch, Jacob Hooker, Anna and Andrew Essenberg, Lexi and Riley Perrins, Devin, Justin, and Tori Jones, Amber, not Vandergeld, Amber and Pelizzeri, and Ashley Giovanucci. We just put Vandergeld so you would remember who those folks are, as if you could forget. Okay? Come on up. Okay, so, all right, so I'm not on this banner creator role, so you want to just kind of bring this in? Now, anybody else that's here that you know you were rocked in the banner nursery, would you just come up and make your presence known, even if we didn't put your name on the screen? Thank you, Michelle Cullenbranders. I'm sorry, dear. That was not an intentional miss. But just for y'all's sake, my other disclaimer is I did not create this list. Okay? But I am accountable, because through today, that still falls under my watch. So my bad if we missed it. Yeah, you know what? That is a great idea. Somebody's taking a picture back here. I'm going to get out of the way so that you, if y'all have got a panoramic, Lucas McPeck. Thank you, man. Who else did I? Oh, my goodness. Dude, I didn't know. Alicia. Oh, man. Wow. Thanks for being here today. Oh, wow. Gosh. How did I miss you?
I don't know.
I got your dad.
You got my uncle. Give me a hug.
I guess because we gave Tyler a spotlight last week, and he did a fantastic job.
And I'm not even on the list.
Hey, there's Valerie, and there's Tammy.
We're going to have a chat.
Yeah. Have a conversation. Here's what I did want to say to you this morning about this group, because this is really an incredible thing. Psalm 100, verse 5 says this: "For the Lord is good, and His faithfulness endures forever." We just sang about that. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. And you're looking at it. You're looking at God's faithfulness in this congregation through all generations. I said early on in my pastoral experience here at Banner is that I was delighted to be part of a multi-generational church. We may not always sing the songs of past generations, though we're going to do that this morning. But we worship together. So we have a long cradle roll. We worship together. That's such a testimony of God's faithfulness. Such a testimony of His faithfulness. So thank you all. Let's hear it for Banner Cradle Roll. There's Andrew. Wow. Okay. So some other folks have also created a little bit of a historical video. This is just snippets from Banner's past and nearly present, in a kind of in a captured video format. We want you just to watch and enjoy this while Wayne and Dick and I get ready to share our part of this service. So enjoy. Okay, so a couple things I want to say before we begin. One is that we are videotaping this entire service today. And there will be a master DVD created, and so I'm sure Linda will send out something from the office that if you'd like a copy of this service, this historical look back, we would be happy to make sure that you're able to access a copy of that. So just for perspective, these two gentlemen who have been dear friends for 22 years and 3 months for me, their names were both on that historic cradle roll, which is a pretty powerful testimony of the longevity of the history of this church and its fellowship. So because of that, I thought if we were going to talk or share some stories about Banner's history, these two guys are my resident experts. You don't need to hear my stories. Many of you have lived them, but you need to hear these guys' stories. And honestly, at this point, we could take about 3 hours just letting you guys talk. So I'm going to say this. I'm going to ask them three questions, and they're each going to respond to those questions. But I want to just strongly encourage you, this here at this table, this is living history. So if you want to hear more great stories, I think these guys would be really open to your invitation for a cup of coffee and throw in a piece of pie, and they will talk for a long time. Or breakfast. Not picky, but you really should, seriously, if you have an opportunity to just sit down and just visit with these guys. They're just full of stories, as are many of you as well. But for the history, they're key. So, Wayne, Dick, first question. What is your earliest memory of Banner Church? What's your earliest memory? And I don't care who goes first. You're just going to pass the microphone back and forth. Sorry.
Well, I knew that question was coming, and so hopefully I got an answer to it. My earliest memory of Banner Church was actually in the Sunday school department. Like there? That's too loud. Is that better right there?
Ezekiel will control that upstairs. Okay. So you just hold it up, and if it's too loud, he'll bring it down.
Okay. Can you hear now? Okay. My earliest recollection of Banner Church was actually in Banner Sunday School. And it's a little short story, but what I recall, 4, 5, 6 years old, some men from the church had built a sandbox that was built on legs. It was a very large sandbox full of Lake Michigan-style sand with toys in it. When you're 4 or 5 years old, you're not quite ready for the Bible stories, but we were taught Bible stories while we played in the sandbox. A combination of that worked out quite well, kept our attention, and we learned some very interesting and important Bible stories. And at the same time, we were beginning to memorize verses, which to this day come back to my memory.
Amen.
I'm an old man, but I can still be tempted, and I am sometimes. But those Bible verses, learned at a very early age and throughout the pastoral history, come back to this old man, and they help me to stay closer to the Lord.
That's it. Were these chairs part of that?
Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, it's okay.
I forgot. But thank you for reminding me. This chair is at least 75 years old, because I used to sit in it at Bible in Sunday school. And guess who my teacher was? None other than Wayne Batdorf's mother, Floy Batdorf. I appreciated that.
I think we have a picture of Floy in those slides. There you go. No, that's one more. There we go. You see some resemblance there? I do. Okay.
I really can't go back as far as Dick can to the sandbox.
Hold it up just a little closer.
We were on the cradle roll,
there
and
you go.
The earliest ones, pastor and family that I recall. Let me look at my notes here a minute. I'm forgetting even well-known names right now.
They wanted to go horseback riding, and I don't like horses, and they don't like me. So, reluctantly, I said, okay, we'll go along with that. So, I called the riding stables. We made an appointment. That Saturday, we loaded in a bunch of cars, and a bunch of kids in the car, and headed to the stables. And when we unloaded the car, the farmer come down. He said, how many kids do you have here anyway? How many riders altogether? And I said, well, we've got 14 people that would like to ride, and one that really doesn't care if he rides or not. That was me. So the old farmer, he says, well, we don't have that many horses here. We only, if there was 15 of us, he only had 14 horses, if I recall the numbers. But he said, well, wait a minute. We've got Big Ben up in the barn. And I said, well, all right, I'll go ahead and get Big Ben. 10 minutes later, he come down with us. I mean, that horse was huge. You've heard of the Budweiser or whatever they call it?
Clydesdales.
Anyway, that's how big it was. And the farmer said to me, well, give me your most experienced rider here so that we'll put him on Big Ben. Well, these kids were city slickers. They'd never been on a farm, let alone on a horse. And guess who had to get up on Big Ben? Farmer got me up there all right. And I felt pretty good about it. I'm sitting up high in the saddle, stretching out a little bit, looking around. And we had to get in the line, horses from 1 through 15. And we started down this trail out of the farmyard. And to get to this area, we had to go down quite a steep grade, cross the creek, and go up the next hill. Well, the first 13 horses, no trouble at all. They did exactly what they're supposed to do. But the horse in front of mine, and I was the last, horse in front of mine got down the hill, out in the water, and decided that old nag needed a drink. So she proceeded getting her water. And after watering herself, she decided, well, she had to relieve herself, to tell you the truth. So she did that right in the creek. Well, my horse was quite unhappy to being delayed, even having somebody on her back. He didn't like that. But she got angry about the horse in front of her, and she proceeded on biting the butt of the horse in front of her. Well, that made that horse unhappy, and she reared her hind legs and kicked my horse in the head. That made my horse rear up on his hind legs, throwing me off the horse on my back in the creek. That stinky creek. About that time, my horse decided, well, I better get across the creek and go up the hill. But what the horse didn't realize is my left foot was still caught in the stirrup. And he bumped me along the creek as we got out, got to the other side, and the farmer saved me. He got me out of the... Anyway, that's the end of the story.
So the moral of the story is never volunteer to be a junior high teacher? Or
no, I love teaching. I really did. And I would do it again if I was 25. I'm not 25 anymore. But those are fun memories. But please don't ever ask me to come to your house and ride horses.
Ike and Nellie Stevens were kind of golden members, longtime members of our church. If you have a table, and you get a, we have a table out there with a picture on it from Banner of Christ Church in 1926, and they're quite easy to pick out. Several people like the Hulls and the Bairds. He has that picture there. We have another picture of that.
Yeah, this is the original.
Back on the table. Ike was considered the bee man of Wyoming. When they had a problem with bees, he was the guy that the police would come and get Ike, and they would take care of the beehives. And he had a friend out in Byron Center here on 76th Street, and they would take those bees and put them there. Well, there came a time when he needed, and his friend needed to move those hives from his location. So we decided that Bernie Hall's farm in Wayland was a good place to take them to. And so they loaded up those beehives, and the pastor at the time and I went along with them to take those hives out there. And what happened was that the bees, when they were unloaded, were not very happy. They were in the mood to go after somebody, and they did just that. They went after the pastor that was with me, and that's one of the humorous. It wasn't humorous at the time. Believe me, it was serious, and we were frightened at the prospect of what was happening here. But those bees followed that pastor, and he had to get rid of them. He pulled his shirt off, fell down, pulled his pants off, and finished running away from those bees. Now, like I say, it sounds like a humorous thing now, but at the time, it surely wasn't. And he has related that story to numbers of people, so I'm not going to mention his name.
His initials were Roger Burke, I think.
I was going to leave that part out. I didn't want to put Roger in there, but it was Roger Burke, and it was one of the more humorous things later on than I had seen in a long time.
Just to be clear, Roger and I are friends, and if the stories were changed, he would out me. I guarantee you. So that's okay. All right. Last question for you is one of the most meaningful memories, or maybe more serious memories, of your experience growing up at Banner.
Because of the day that it is today, today is the 11th, it's Veterans Day, and our church voted to move from Banner to a different location, and part of that is some didn't want to go, and others, of course, voted to go. But it was I'm trying to get the story straight here as to what it goes. We went to this temporary facility on 54th Street. It happened to be Veterans Day at that time. And we had a veteran. The pastor had asked if he would come and have the prayer that morning at that facility. And he said yes. And as he came up, and was getting ready to pray. He had a heart attack and fell over the podium onto the floor. Arlene Clark and Mike Cooley were two that rushed to his aid, but he did not survive. And it was one of the more tragic things that I've ever seen, and it was during that transition time on 54th mm-hmm. Street that this happened.
Keep this handy. Well, teaching that Sunday school class was a lot of fun, and we had a lot of good kids in there. But we also were able to reach out to the community, and we were one of the first churches, I think, in that area to provide free Wednesday evening meals for the families around the church. And some of the kids started coming to church and to Sunday school. And not all of them were Christians. They weren't raised in Christian homes. Many of them were from divided families, not a two-parent family. But they were good kids, and we began to enjoy their company coming to church. Well, some of them believed and some chose not to, just like today. We have some that believe in Christ and some that choose not to believe. But some of those who were on the opposite side from what I would like went on a wayward course. And they got in petty trouble, little crimes at school, etc. But as time went on, they got a little older, and their crimes became a little more serious. And in fact, very serious. And one day I had a call from Mrs. English, who you saw up here a little while ago, Christine English. And she asked if I would go to the county jail and visit with one of her grandchildren. And I was nervous about going to jail, but I did. And when I went up the second floor, I was able to meet this young man who I'd seen before at church. But by that time, he was 6 foot something with long hair down to here, and he was pretty tough-looking dude. And he said to me, "What do you want from me?" And I said, "Just want to be your friend." And that was the truth. I only wanted to be his friend. Well, he was 17 years old at the time. And over the next 2 or 3 years, we became pretty close friends. Well, unfortunately, the man was sentenced to life without parole in prison. And our friendship developed over those years to a point where a trust relationship developed. I didn't lie to him, and he didn't lie to me. We were very factual with each other. Well, one day he said to me, "You know, I'd like to go back, if I ever get out of this place, I'd like to go back on Banner Street in Burton Heights area and be able to talk to these junior high kids and tell them what happened to my life, or his life, and what could I do to help them." Well, the thought came to me, maybe from the Lord, I hope. I said to him, "How would it be if I could bring some of these kids to prison?" And he said he'd be willing to talk with these kids, because he's only 3 or 4 years older than the children. So we had to get permission from the warden, and of course the prisoners are already willing to talk. We came back to Grand Rapids, and we got permission from the parents of roughly 5 or 6 boys that would go to prison with us. But the day it came along, we jumped in the car and headed for Ionia Reformatory. If you've never seen that building, it's a dungeon, literally over 100 years old. And it's cold, scary, frightful, and full of prisoners who themselves are scary if you don't know them. But when you begin to find out who they are, they're people just like us. Amen. They need the Lord. Anyway, we got through the searching area. All the prisoners, no matter how old, all the visitors, no matter how old, had to be searched. Got inside, we're sitting here at the table waiting for the prisoners to walk in. And here comes this 6-foot friend of mine now. He's my friend. And he proceeded on talking for probably half an hour to these half a dozen boys. They listened intently to him because they were his age almost. And they were from the Burton Heights area, basically. So they really listened to him. Well, it was time to leave. We said our goodbyes. And the kids probably thought they'd never see him again. Well, we exited that place and got in the car. We got halfway home, I guess, from Ionia. And I noticed that the back seat where these boys were was extremely quiet. No one was talking. I turned around and I said, "What's the matter, guys?" And I noticed tears in their eyes. And in mine in a minute. I'm not careful. Well, I'll let them flow. If they got to flow, they got to flow. I said, what's troubling you? And they were fearful and afraid. And though they didn't talk much, until I asked them some questions, I said, "What's bothering you?" And he said, "Well, a long story short, they needed Christ in their lives, and they knew it." So we got about halfway home from Ionia, and when that was stated to us, we pulled off. We didn't have cell phones in those days. So we pulled off to a gas station and made a long-distance call. Thank you. We made a call back to Grand Rapids, and we talked to an older lady who was, at that time, the term was a class leader. Her name was Miss Ray. I'll never forget her. A dynamic Christian witness, older lady, almost as old as Wayne. Sorry about that. Anyway, we called this lady and asked her if she could pray for these boys because they were under conviction. We drove from that little town, phone booth, to Grand Rapids on Banner Street Church, where our church was located. And we walked in and went down the basement. And we had a good conversation. I said to them, "What's troubling you, boys?" "Well, the things I want to do, I don't want to do, I do, and things I should do, I don't." That kind of a situation. In other words, they were under conviction for their sins. And it was at that point, the other gentleman with me, Niall Skilling, was the other adult teacher. Long story short, he led those boys to the Lord that night. And now I will use a tissue. He led those boys to the Lord, and I'm so thankful he did that. very grateful for Niall. He now has moved to Atlanta. But I miss him and some others that was involved in the Sunday school. I'm sort of off of my story here. I've lost track of where I'm at. I'm confused, to tell you the truth. I don't know where to go next. Maybe I'll turn it over to Pastor and see if something comes back. I'll ask for the mic back. Right now, I'm done.
That's fine.
Thought maybe I would finish the story on Ike. He lived 7 years after we got involved. The church was involved in their care, and that was a positive thing. We, for 2 years, Ike and Nellie needed that care, and we had volunteers from Banner Church who were there to help them out and take care of things for them. Ike got an infection and needed to go into the hospital, and that was 5 years later, so you can see that I was made conservator for him in court, took care of his financial things, and Lucy was involved for those next 5 years, and we checked on him very often to make sure everything was going to be good. When he passed away, he had a home on 34th Street in Wyoming, and he left that home to Banner. It became our church office because we were in a transition from Banner Street to a different location, and that was quite a time in our lives that I talked with Doug this morning. Doug had an office in that home, and of course others worked, and we used it for our church office. And then later on, the home was sold, and finances went to help Banner relocate and do the things that needed to be done. I wanted to just finish that story on that part. Maybe I'll wait until your next question, but I wanted to get in some of the people that were important people. Can I go right now with them? We had... Ken Carrick was a longtime music director, choir leader at Banner, and he was an important part. We had a lot of musicians and teachers, piano players and musicians, Christine English and Calvin. Christine was 46 years as our pianist and organ player, tremendous amount of time. Sharon Stevens, several other names that go, Wilson, and ended up being a Hall, was also a piano player and organist for 16 years. So I've got to mention my sister. Fern was an important person to me. I led singing at Banner in the evening time for a lot of years. And she couldn't read music, but she could play anything. And it was flabbergasting to me how she could possibly do that. And when I was leading singing and we went through the songbook and the songs that we wanted to use, she would put them an octave lower. so that if it happened to be some songs that were too high for me, she had a way of putting it lower. Now, how can someone do that if they can't read? Anyone that reads music could never do that. They couldn't. It was just something special to me that she was able to lower that, and I was able to sing in the range that I could handle. That was a good part there. So I wanted to get that part in too. Others like Doug worked out of that. Doug had his office there at on 34th Street. It was such a blessing to have, I think Sherry Wyman was it, maybe was the secretary at the time. But it was an important part of our life and Banner's life to help take care of those people for a number of years, and then through their gratitude of leaving that to Banner, I thought that was something special for him to do that.
So I'm just going to quickly shift back. Would you put up the picture of that first couple that we had on there? Dick, would you tell the story of these folks, who they are, and why they're special to both you and Wayne?
Sure. The lady on the left is Wayne's grandma, and my grandma also. Makes us cousins, first cousins yet. Some didn't know that probably here, but we are first cousins.
And her name is Lily.
Her name is Lily. Her husband is Andrew Hoffman, Grandpa Hoffman to us. They lived in Charlotte, 316 Warren Street. I can remember that from 40 years ago, but I can't remember what I had for dinner last night.
Neither can I, so I'm sorry.
I guess what else did you want to know about that?
So Andrew Hoffman was superintendent in the United Brethren Church, and it was his vision to plant a church in the Burton Heights area of Grand Rapids. And he became the supervisor to a returned missionary who began doing Sunday school classes on that address at Kirkland. And division that became what you all know as Banner of Christ Church, Banner Church. So in reality, their grandpa was the one who saw the vision that God wanted to start a work that would then become your home. And I just think it's really cool when God does that kind of thing. And he networks with people and then enfolds people and their families, and that dynamic, what we read, Psalm 105, that each generation discovers God's faithfulness. And these folks were key people. And so you'll see some of those pictures as well later. I just wanted to make sure we had that picture up. I wanted to make sure we gave tribute to Grandpa Hoffman and Grandma Hoffman, Lily and Andy. And they look young enough that they could just be sitting here with us today, don't they? That's just a great, great picture.
So. I feel kind of bad I didn't finish my story, but I tell you the truth, I have a blackout. I cannot remember the rest of my story, so I'll just let it suffice at that, unless you've got a question.
That's why the preacher always has notes in front of him, because I never know when that's going to happen for me. So, your wife was concerned that we not dwell on this, but these two guys were quite the athletes back at South High School in Grand Rapids. They were multi-sport athletes.
Wayne was multi-sports. Okay. I was lucky to play football on a second string. My other activity was chasing the girls.
I wasn't going to share anything of that part of the story. But you all enjoyed playing sports at South High School, and you were telling me beforehand two things about that. One was another famous graduate of South High School, before your time, but still a famous graduate, so you have that connection. You were also talking about South High School closed in
1968, 50 years ago.
And there is still a
varsity club
group that continues to meet. And there are how many people the last time?
The last time we had 110 athletes that were at the varsity club meeting for South High School, and they haven't graduated anybody in 50 years.
Because the high school closed in 65.
Yeah, it was.
So tell us about the other famous athlete and graduate of South High School.
My wife didn't want me to say these things because it's sort of like patting yourself on the back, and I don't.
Not at all.
I did make the all-city football team at South High in 1953, and I won three major letters in baseball, and received a letter from John McHale of the Detroit Tigers to come and try out with the Tigers. So I did have success as an athlete in my year. She didn't want me to bring that up, but it just came out. I told her something might just come out, and that.
And it's my fault, Lucy. I love sports just enough. I thought that story just needed to be told.
Perhaps one other thing. Dick and I both worked for General Motors at GM Diesel. And between the two of us, we had 80 years of seniority at General Motors, mm-hmm. Dick and I. So just
that's great.
Another little tidbit that I thought I'd throw in.